We want to welcome you to another broadcast from Unity Baptist Church in Athens, Tennessee. This is Pastor Mark Latham, along with the congregation of our church. We hope that this broadcast will be a help to believers and that it will point the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, let's take our Bible and go to the book of John chapter 6 this morning. John 6, a very familiar scripture. Going to preach on one portion of scripture out of it. Let's stand if we would. We'll reverence the reading of God's word. Good to see you here in the house of God today. So glad you're here. And I hope you're happy to be here today. You pray God will help us, will strengthen us while we preach. Amen. And just guard our mind and our thoughts and help us. We certainly need Him. I need Satan hindered from this service this morning. John 6, we're going to deal with Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I think that is a very familiar scripture to a lot of people. We're going to read this and then we're going to deal with some things. Well, with one thing that he said right here, I believe it is in verse 12. But let's look and read the whole story, John chapter 6. If you happen to be here, say amen. Looking for Jesus to come, say amen. 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 I believe He's coming. Amen. And I hope you know He is. John 6, verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of His disciples, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes. Now pay attention to what your Bible says, as much as they would. The Bible tells us in another portion of Scripture that they ate till they were filled. And when they were filled, and look here in verse 12, when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You this morning for helping us, even in our trials. Lord, we're glad to have the victory. What a wonderful lesson just this morning on having the victory because we're saved. And I thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for that good night that You spoke to my heart about salvation. And I pray today that if there's one here that's lost, that they'd come and get saved. I pray that You would deal with their heart about salvation. Lord, we ask You this morning that You'd touch us for just a little while. Lord, while we might preach, we need a touch from heaven. We need You to come by and we need You to stir in our hearts. Lord, we need You to do something that we cannot do this morning. Lord, that not only would we leave out of here different, but better than what we come in our service for You. We want to tell You and thank You again for Calvary, how much that we just love You because of Calvary, but because of Your blessings. And Lord, You've been faithful to us all these years. I'm so glad of that. Would You meet with us now, stirring folks' hearts, save that sinner's nearest hell, and help us preach, touch us from heaven for all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I think most of us know the story right here very well. If you have spent any time in church or spent time in Sunday school, you know that Jesus feeds the 5,000. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 14, not only was it 5,000, I said that when they had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So we're probably talking about anywhere between 10,000 and 15,000 that Jesus feeds, and maybe even more than that. I really don't know. But we do know that there was 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And so we find right here when Jesus lifts up his eyes in verse 5 and he sees all these people, he asked Philip, he said, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And I love what the Lord does right here. He done that on purpose. He knew they didn't have enough money to buy. He knew they couldn't feed all these people by what they could buy. But he done that on purpose. And the Bible said right here that it was to prove Philip. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Jesus already knew about the five loaves and the two fishes. Jesus already knew that he was going to be able to feed them. But he wanted to see what Philip would have to say. And not only that, but he found out what Andrew thought, because Andrew said right here, he said, we've got five loaves and two small fishes. Not regular fishes, but two small fishes. But then he made this statement, but what are they among so many? Don't we look at life that way sometimes when we have a need? If we're not very careful, we'll say, Lord, here's what I've got, or here's what we've got to work with, but I don't know how you're going to accomplish what you're needing to accomplish by what we have right here in front of us. And that's what Andrew was saying. What are they? When you look at a crowd that's got 5,000 men plus the women and the children out there, how are you going to be able to do anything, Lord, with five loaves and two small fishes? We underestimate the Lord sometimes, don't we? Amen. We underestimate him. I mean, because the book of Ephesians chapter 3, I said that he can do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think by the power that worketh in us. I'm glad that we can have some power and that with God. I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But so what he said to do was just make the men sit down. And I love verse 10. It said down there was much grass in the place. Why do you like that? Because if you go look at the other scriptures, it said they were in a desert place. Well, is that a contradiction? No. He just found much grass in a desert place. Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord. Hey, listen, I preached on that one time up in revival. Man, this was back in 2016, 8 years ago. I talked to the pastor up there here a while back, and he said, there's still a gentleman in my church that talks about grace in a desert place. Boy, I'm glad that just every now and again something will get in there and hang on. Amen. I'm glad it'll do it. But if you look at this, he's had them sit down on grass in a desert place. And you know what Jesus does? He takes five loaves, two fishes, looks up to heaven, and he begins to bless them. And when he gets done blessing and thanking God, he breaks them things apart. He begins to distribute to his disciples, to the people. And boy, it's a good type of teaching, ain't it? That's a good type of instruction, ain't it? It comes from Jesus and we pass it on out, don't we? That's a good type of the gospel, ain't it? That's what we're to do. And so he feeds till they were filled. And boy, what a miracle that took place. Not only did they get just a little, and I mean that little lad gave up his five loaves and two fishes, but I'd say he got more out of the deal by the time it's all said and done. When we give up what we have for the service of Christ, we're going to end up with more than what we started with. But I want you to look right here. He said they ate as much as they would. They were filled in verse 12, but Jesus tells them to gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And that's what they did. They went out and they filled up 12 baskets. You ever think about why they filled up 12 baskets? I can give you my thought. I can't really tell you for sure, but we had 12 disciples over there. And I think them boys at the end of the day, they got them a basket full because of the work that they had done. They went out and they served and they worked. Don't you think they ought to eat too? And not only were they going to eat, they were going to get to eat later. And that of the miracle that Christ Jesus had done. And I preached some time ago on 12 baskets full and a boat loaded out. Because if you read on down through here, it was right after this that they end up in that storm and they're doubting the Lord. But yet they're having to stumble over 12 baskets full of a miracle. Think about it for a minute. How many of us doubt God while we're stumbling over 12 baskets full of a miracle? Just give you something to think about. But I don't want to preach on none of that this morning. It's awful good, wasn't it? Amen. I hope this goes as well as that did. But look in verse 12. He said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And I want to preach for just a little while on a thought on some things that we're losing, or some things that we've lost. The Lord was concerned about them not losing this stuff. The Lord was concerned that they go gather up what they had, what was left. He didn't want them to lose that. He didn't want it to go away. He didn't want it to be lost where they couldn't use it, where they couldn't enjoy it, where they couldn't use it for His glory, if I could say that. But in the work of Christ and in our Christianity and in the church, I'm afraid that we've lost some things. We're living in a time when we have a lukewarm, a lackadaisical, and by the way, that is a word, and a haphazard Christianity. We're living in the last times when sin don't really seem to matter. Do you see the sign down there? What used to be sin is no longer sin. I had somebody call me here a while back and wanting me to preach on some things. I'm probably going to about things that were sin 20 and 30 years ago that are not sin now, it seems. If the Bible called it sin, it's sin. Amen. And we need to deal with that. But sin don't really seem to matter anymore. Separation don't seem to matter. Being different, out of this world, talking different, dressing different, acting different, and just looking different. It just really don't seem to matter. I want to preach, if I could, on three things that I can see, probably more than this, but I'm just going to deal with three of them, God helping us, on what we've lost. Can I say number one, first of all, I believe that we have lost the power of God. I believe the power of God lacks in our life, in our home, and in our churches, and in our nation for sure, as the church and as God's people had it at one time. Say, why do you figure that? I know stories are stories. I get that. Listen, but I do believe that men and women used to pray sinners saved. What's that mean? Hey, they would pray until sinners got saved. They would beg God to save their family. They would talk to God about that until He moved upon them. They's either going to get right or get away. Amen. When's the last time you've seen folk fall out in conviction? I'm not talking about getting slain in the Spirit as the Pentecostals talk about. I'm talking about where they got under old time Holy Spirit conviction and had to do something about their situation. When's the last time we ever seen that? It's just like we're just sitting here waiting for Jesus to come, and we ain't even do that with joy in our heart sometimes. It just seems to be a mess. It seems like we're missing, we've lost the power of God. I believe in the power of God. I really do this morning. I believe God can do things, as we've seen right here in chapter 6 of the book of John, a man who was Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, who died for my sins and saved me because I asked Him to. He fed 5,000. More than 5,000 with loaves and fishes. I believe that's the God we've got today. Amen. But why? Why have we not got power with him. Why? Let me ask you something. Do you pray? By the way, I'm probably going to sound like a broken record. I am determined that the power of God, one of the things we must do as His children is pray. Old timers, when I read stories and listen to stories, I'm not wanting to go back to them days, even though them were better days. Those were better days. But I want to be here now serving God because that's where He's got us at. Amen. I don't want to wish my life away forward or backward. But listen, friend, I believe the power of God comes when we pray. You remember what He told them over there in Matthew chapter 21? He said, it is written, my house shall be called the what? The house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. Listen, He didn't say it's a house of teaching. He didn't say it's a house of preaching. He didn't say it was a house out of where you come and congregate and worship me and praise me, even though they've done all those things. He said it's a house of what? Prayer. He said, pray. He said, Paul said it one time. He said, pray without ceasing. The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter 17 when His disciples brought unto Him that one that they could not cast the devil out of, and He cast them out, and they finally come to Him and asked Him, said, Lord, why couldn't we cast him out? And He said, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. When's the last time you got alone by yourself and God? When's the last time you let daddy watch the kids, mama? Or maybe that you just got away after they went to school. Maybe you just found a little time. And I think you do need to separate and pray. Now, I like to pray with my wife. I do. Me and her try to read our Bible together some. Some days we struggle at it, don't we? It's a struggle. I mean, time just flies on by. And you know what happens? We don't make time. But I'm telling you, if you want to see God do anything in your life, in your family, in your home, in this church, you better pray. You better learn how. You better pray. He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. When's the last time that you fasted? Have you ever fasted? After Zeke, the first time he went in the hospital when he was 8 months old, and then, of course, we all know the tragedy that happened. Or most of us know the tragedy with the bad heart surgery and all that. I was reminded the other day when he went back in the hospital, I was reminded of that time. And I remember coming home from the hospital, and I remember that's the first time I had fasted in a long time. Had fasted. I gave up, and I still fast along the way, not near as much as I should, and not like I need to. And I don't know about you, every one of you sitting in here may fast just like you need to. I'm telling you, your preacher struggles with that. Struggles that. To give up my necessary food to see God move. You know, that's what fasting. See, here's one thing. You can give up what your body don't need. There's a lot of things that we put in our body and it's around our body and we do in our flesh. Our body don't have to have to survive. But your body does have to have food to survive. I mean, you're going to get hungry. Your body's going to tell you you're going to get hungry. I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, it's just a natural thing to eat. Friend, that's a natural thing. And he says, this kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. You know what that tells me about his disciples? They either weren't praying or they weren't fasting. Amen. You want me to go back and talk about him feeding the 5,000? It's a whole lot better when I was talking about that, wasn't it? Huh? Listen. Anytime we've got to start to get our flesh into a place that it does not like to be, that's a hard thing to deal with sometimes. But if you want power with God, you better learn to pray. You better learn to fast. Take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew chapter 6. I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't know and you've not heard me say before. I'm talking about why have we lost the power of God? Why do we not have it in church? Why do we not have it in our life? And you might have it, and that's great. Then I'll guarantee you, you're doing these things right here that I'm talking about. If you look in Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 5, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door. Can I go ahead and say it again? Most of you know what I'm going to say. I'm good at getting in my closet, but it's awful hard to shut the door. It's awful hard to shut the door. There's two times I generally do not answer my phone. One is when we're eating supper. If you call me at supper time, I won't even get up to see who's calling. That's just a rule. If I'm going to enjoy supper, then I'm not going to care about who's calling. I don't care. Just being honest. If I'm going to enjoy supper with my wife and sit there and talk to her and enjoy some things, if I don't care if it's ringing off the hook, as the old saying is. Most of you kids don't understand that. Don't even know what the hook is. Amen. Telling my age. That's like when we get done here, we'll get you a tape of the service, you know. But I try my best to turn this phone off, my phone off, when I get ready to pray. Because you know what will happen inevitably? Ding, ding. That thing will ding at me or it'll ring at me. And whether I'm waiting on anything or not waiting on anything, you know where my mind goes to? I wonder what's on my phone. I wonder what that was about. I wonder who's texting me, or I wonder what that email was, or I wonder what's going on. And so the best thing you can do to shut the door is turn it off. You can't pray with the TV on, friend. Not good. You might be able to pray, but you ain't going to pray good. He said, when you enter into your prayer closet, he said, shut thy door. That seems so easy. That seems so easy, but yet we're bombarded with life. We're bombarded with everything that's going on around us. And to just clear our minds out and talk to God. Why is that so hard? Do you have that problem? I have that problem. I have problem getting my mind focused into prayer. He said, when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father which seeth, which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall what? Reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition. He didn't say not to use repetition. He said don't use vain repetition. There's a difference. Have you not prayed for the same thing over and over again? He said don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. If we're going to have power with God, if we're going to see God move in these very last days, we got to pray. Man, we got to pray. We've got to make prayer. We got to make prayer a point of our life to see God move. I mean, I try my best, I'll be honest with you, through the week to spend time in prayer. I come in here the other day and just come down here and prayed. And you know what I'll do? Sometimes I done the other day, hadn't done it in years. I stood on each pew, not stood on the pew, but stood outside the pew. Boy, I'd have been crazy if I'd been on the pew and you come in here. I don't think I could have explained that to Miss Sarah if she'd have come in to clean the church. But I stood at each pew, and I know where you sat at. But I also said, Lord, if there's somebody else on this pew, you meet their needs. But I go down through there, and I call your name out and talk to the Lord about your family. Talk to the Lord about my family. And just say, Lord, we're going to need some help come Sunday. We're going to need you to come by. Let me ask you a question. In is it Acts 12? How did Peter get out of prison? Well, take your Bible and go to Acts 12. I want you to see this. Most of y'all know, but I believe it's Acts 12, ain't it? Acts chapter 12. Is that where I need to be at? I hope it is. Yes. Acts chapter 12. Herod had killed James at this time in verse 2. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So the whole time that he's in prison, they're praying. And so what happens? Well, God moves, don't he? God sends an angel, kicks Peter in the side, says, "Get up, Peter, we got to go, put your shoes on." He had done got comfortable, hadn't he? He died the next day. He's ready to go. He knows Jesus. He's ready to go. And so he has to put his shoes on. And the angel leads him all the way through the prison, opens the big iron gate. And then Peter comes to himself. He ends up down there at John Mark's mama's house where the church is. Knocks on the door. And one of them young ladies come out there, and she knows that it's Peter's voice. She knows it's Peter's voice. Rhoda come out there. Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter, and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." He ain't out there. Now they've been praying all night for God to turn him loose. Have we ever prayed that way? We ever prayed, and then when somebody says that the prayer got answered, we're like, "Well, how'd God do that?" They didn't even think God had answered this prayer yet. They just told her, "She's mad. You're mad. You're crazy." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then said they, "It is an angel." Well, why didn't somebody just get up and go look? I never understood that. But notice right here, the Bible said in the very next verse, "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." Have you ever been astonished at what God was able to accomplish? Let me put my glasses on. Have you ever been astonished at what God was able to accomplish? I have. I have stood amazed at just what I've prayed for, and God heard my prayer and moved. I've been amazed at God moving in my life. Just like the story I told you just a few minutes ago about that missionary wanting to come, but I had no liberty. And then when Brother Ricker walks in, God says, "Right there is why I could." Man, what are you going to do with that? That's why it always pays to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, let me get on with it. Power. Power. Got to pray. We got to get us out of the way. We get a little too prideful sometimes, don't we? Thinking that we've done or we have accomplished something. Listen, if this message accomplishes anything today, it's because of him, not because of me. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Man, I'm telling you the gospel. Paul was going to preach the gospel no matter what. He was going to let them know the gospel. It was the gospel that has power in it. I mean, listen, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said there is power in the gospel. You preach and teach and tell of the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection of what he done at Calvary for man and woman's sins. That'll get folks saved and it'll help them serve Christ.
Thank you for listening to another broadcast from Unity Baptist Church. If you would like to contact the church, you can write to Unity Baptist Church, P.O. Box 1268, Athens, Tennessee, 37371, USA. Again, the address is Unity Baptist Church, P.O. Box 1268, Athens, Tennessee, 37371, USA. Or you can email the church at ubcathens@gmail.com. Again, our email address is ubcathens@gmail.com. Thank you for listening, and join us again for another broadcast from Unity Baptist Church.